Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The head of Manajkum Hospital in Sitka is resigning. Dr. Marty Grassmeter has been both hospital administrator at Search in Sitka and the facility's medical director for the last several years. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Grassmeter is a pediatrician. He's been with Search for 19 years. Dan Neumeister is chief operating officer for Search in Sitka. He says Grassmeter's resignation is unrelated to some of the organization's very public financial struggles over the past year.
I take Marty for, he's an honorable man. He shared with me very specifically the reason why he's leaving was not about what the challenges or the opportunities that are being presented to Search right now, but it's really a personal family decision about what was best for not only himself, but also his wife and his child.
Grassmeter has accepted a position as the medical director of the Multnomah County Health Department in Portland, Oregon. He's currently on vacation and did not return KCAW's calls for comment. Neumeister himself is a product of recent turnover at Search. In April, he replaced former COO Susan Labus, who had only been on the job for a year and a half. That move came on the heels of the closure of Search's Bill Brady Healing Center in March and an announcement from Search President and CEO Chuck Clement near the beginning of 2012 that the organization faced a $4 million budget shortfall. Neumeister says the organization is going to use the opportunity created by Grassmeter's departure to examine staffing in upper management.
What we're trying to do here at Search is look at how are we structured and are there ways to do things a little bit more efficiently without maybe having two or three people do the same job.
Neumeister says he expects the Search medical director position will remain in Sitka, but that could change. Search's medical operations will be overseen in Sitka by Assistant Medical Director John Bachoco and in Juneau by Janice Schufeld. Grassmeter will remain in his post through the month of September. Noel Selray, who most recently was the CEO of the Wrangell Medical Center, will serve as the interim administrator in Grassmeter's absence. Selray is currently working as a consultant in Anchorage. Neumeister says he'll likely live and work in Sitka 3 weeks out of every four. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Selray's name might be familiar to some listeners in Southeast. He made headlines in Wrangell last year after a protracted legal dispute with the city. Shady Grove Oliver is a reporter at our sister station, KSTK, in Wrangell. She spoke to KCAW yesterday afternoon.
Noel Selray was the former Wrangell Medical Center CEO, and he was involved in a bit of controversy over here at the hospital. The short version is that most of the members of our hospital board were recalled. Right after they were recalled, they held an emergency meeting and basically gave Selray a golden handshake. And they had changed the terms of his severance package so he would be given over $500,000 in severance pay. And then there was additional controversy when he left with that money, when the city became involved and tried to stop the check. They were unable to do that. And so they requested that he give the money back. He had refused to do that. He went up to Anchorage and took with him a laptop and an iPad that the hospital claimed belonged to them. Chubb, who is the insurance company, agreed to pay the city and borough of Wrangell, I believe it's $250,000, to make up for some of the severance package. A judge and a forensics expert in Anchorage are going to be looking at the laptop and iPad to get hospital information off of them. That information will be returned to the hospital.
That's reporter Shady Grove Oliver in Wrangell talking about Noel Selray. The former Wrangell Medical Center CEO will serve as interim administrator of Search Mount Edgecombe Hospital beginning this fall. Sitka's otherwise clear weather on Monday was marred by smoke from forest fires in Canada. Joel Curtis is with the National Weather Service in Juneau. Once a day, his office receives satellite imagery that can detect the heat of wildfires.
I'm counting, looks like about a dozen in the Yukon Territory.
There are a pair of fires likely affecting the air in southeast Alaska, both east of Carmax. Curtis says the fires cool down somewhat at night and then start generating more smoke as the day wears on. The smoke creates a pinkish hue as it's filtered sunlight in Sitka in the early afternoon, but Sitka is not getting the worst of it.
Well, the sun came up here in Juneau. It was brown when I watched it come over the mountains. And it looks like you have on those yellow-tinted glasses. Everything has that kind of a pale look.
Curtis says the weather pattern pushing the smoke our way should persist for a while, with some breaks. He says it's possible that the smoke may move more to the east on this afternoon, and southeast will return to normal cloud cover. An Australian man died on Friday near Sitka's A&B Harbor. 33-year-old John William Schroeder was a crew member of the 120-foot pleasure craft Valkyrie. Schroeder was reportedly the chief engineer aboard the vessel. The vessel's captain and crew reported Schroeder missing just after 5 p.m. Friday. Sitka Search and Rescue investigated the disappearance, and soon after, the fire department dive team conducted a sweep of the harbor. Schroeder was found on the ocean floor. Don Kluding is with Sitka Search and Rescue and was involved with the investigation on Friday night.
You know, we made the decision fairly early on that, you know, it was certainly looking like we were going to have to search the waters of the harbor and, you know, brought in the dive team. It wasn't long after they hit the water that, you know, they located him and, you know, we were able to suspend the search effort and, you know, came up with the resolution that, unfortunate resolution, you know, not a happy outcome, but at least, you know, he was located, and so we do have some closure for the family.
A cause of death has not yet been released, pending a report from the state medical examiner. Is the North Pacific humpback whale no longer endangered? The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will decide in a few days whether to pursue taking the whale off the endangered species list. A group of Hawaiian fishermen submitted a petition to delist humpbacks in April, and the agency will determine if it has enough credible information to further review. Removing the North Pacific humpback from the endangered species list would require NOAA to revisit an important regulation specific to watching humpback whales in Alaska waters. As Lisa Fu reports, the rapid growth of Juneau's whale-watching industry may be causing some vessels to overlook regulations and guidelines.
There's probably 8 to 10 whales that I could just look at and say, that's Willie, or that's Sasha, or that's Sheila.
Larry Dupler, better known as Captain Larry, started conducting whale-watching trips with Dolphin Tours in 1994, when there were only a handful of local companies on the water.
Sasha has the scar across her back and down her right side and on her
Dupler back. Dupler helped start Orca Enterprises in 1997 and has been with the company ever since.
Some of these whales I know, and I know they know me, almost have a personal relationship with some of them.
He says not all captains feel the same way.
If you watch the way some of the captains handle their boats around the animals, they're not worried about the animal itself. They're more worried about their customers and making them happy, getting them a good show, and some of them even violate the guidelines and regulations that we have in place.
By 2001, it was clear to NOAA that humpbacks in Alaska were particularly vulnerable to pressure and potential harm from increased vessel traffic and whale watching. The Protected Resources Division came up with the 100-yard rule, making it unlawful to approach within 100 yards of a humpback whale in Alaska waters. While establishing the regulation, NOAA considered a permitting system for the whale-watching industry, but concluded it didn't have sufficient infrastructure. No permitting system exists for vessels that want to enter the industry. Weather permitting owner and captain Greg Brown says whale-watching should be more tightly regulated.
There is a lot of abuse and a lot of whales getting run over and pressured that can be avoided if we change the rules a little bit.
NOAA's Enforcement Division received 42 reports of harassment to humpbacks statewide in 2012. While the agency has patrol boats, including one in the greater Juneau area, most complaints come from the general public.
We really encourage everyone to consider themselves a steward of this animal.
Marine mammal specialist Elaria Jensen says humpbacks are in Alaska May through September, and most spend the rest of the year in Hawaii.
Alaska is the kitchen. It's completely the time for foraging, for feeding, for bulking up.
She says regulations and guidelines are meant to limit disturbance to the whale's natural behavior. Gauging a 100-yard distance for whale watching requires training. Allen Marine Tours, for example, has a rangefinder on every boat, according to Juneau General Manager Eric Majeski.
In the training week, we'll go out to an island or a reef, somewhere where we can have a hard surface to get a digital reading from and have all the captains stand at the helm and see how far away that is. They can use every tool if they can to make sure they're staying at least 100 yards away.
Allen Marine started offering whale watching tours in 1995.
We started off with just 3 boats, and now we're up to 13 boats based out of Juneau.
NOAA Enforcement Division Special Agent Ron Antea says the number of humpback harassment complaints has not varied over the years, despite the growing number of tour boats. He believes the industry polices itself.
Given the volume of tour activity out there and the volume of complaints we get, I think that speaks for itself. They're doing a pretty darn good job.
Last month, NOAA fined Alaska Yacht Charters $5,000 for coming within 30 feet of a pod of breaching whales in 2010. The company's owner, Jeffrey Wilson, was found liable under the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the Endangered Species Act. NOAA will look at abundance trends as it considers the petition to delist. Alaska Fisheries Science Center Director Doug DeMaster says the number of North Pacific humpback whales has increased.
We went from what may have been as few as 1,000 or so animals in the 1960s to more than 20,000 humpback whales today.
Orca Enterprises Dupler worries the industry has grown past the point of saturation.
Today there's like 3 or 4 humpbacks in the general area, and it's not uncommon now to go out and see 15 to 20 some boats sitting around one animal.
The Alaska Visitor Statistics Program indicates more than 50% of visitors engage in wildlife viewing, including whale watching, making it one of the most popular tourist activities in the state. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.